Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from His glorious Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our consideration today are the words of the epistle lesson from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's at the bottom of the inside back cover of your bulletin. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we rejoice at this day, when we remember how you showed the glory of your ministry of righteousness. We pray, Lord, today through this word that you would increase our faith and strengthen it so that we might resolve in our minds to not follow cunning ways or to tamper with your word, but to trust it for our life and salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, in that golden hour, the sun rises right over here, and the light is breathtaking. Every Sunday morning, I get here about 6 o'clock, so I get to watch it. And yet soon, especially in the summer, comes the bright glare and the burning heat. The summer sun is at the same time beautiful and a bit terrifying. Many of you have seen the blooms in the desert here around Havasu. You give this rock that we live on a little water, and pretty soon it suddenly flowers and blooms almost overnight. Whole hillsides are ablaze with color. Both of these sights are glorious. Both make manifest something that was hidden before. The sun's morning light makes it manifest that the sun has not disappeared but continues to shine upon us for better or worse. The flowers of the hills make it manifest that life still continues according to God's promise, even though everything might look dead and sterile at times. When Jesus went with his disciples, Peter, James, and John, to the high mountaintop in northern Galilee, he went there to make manifest a hidden quality in himself. He was transfigured so that he glowed with divine brilliance. The Father spoke to him from heaven. The great prophets of old, Moses and Elijah, appeared to speak with him. Jesus showed his disciples a glimpse of his divine nature. In our sermon text for this morning, St. Paul writes that about this glory of Christ, and he compares it to the glory on Moses' face 1,500 years earlier when Moses had received the commandments on Sinai and descended to the Israelite camp, still glowing from his encounter with the Lord. In Exodus 29, it says, "When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he did not know that the skin of his face shone, because he had been talking with the Lord, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken to him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face." The glory of God was seen for that brief moment in Moses' face, shining like the sun. This wasn't a little glow. It says he shone. There must have been a lot of rabbis speculating about that whole event over the years and what it meant, but we have access to the truth, to God's word, and so we can put aside all that speculation because Paul tells us what it really means. Paul tells us that there was a purpose to Moses' face glowing. Moses was to be the face of the law. Just before our sermon text, Paul wrote, "The ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory. His face was like the desert sun, burning, terrifying. They had broken their covenant with God already by this time. This wasn't the first time that Moses came down the mountain with the Ten Commandments, you know. The first time he descended, he found that the Israelites, even under the leadership of Aaron, had sinned terribly. They had made a golden calf like the ones of the Egyptians, whom God had just saved them from by bringing them through the Red Sea on dry ground. The Israelites, why, they were worshiping the bovine instead of the divine. So Moses broke the tablets to show the Israelites that they had broken the commandments. Now the account of Moses' glorious face is actually the second time that Moses came down with a new set of tablets for the Israelites. The Israelites must have looked upon his coming with fear already, remembering what they had done. But when they saw his face shining supernaturally, it was sure evidence that Moses had met with God, and they were afraid. They were confronted in that moment by their sinfulness, confronted in that glorious light. They glimpsed the total perfection of God's law. They glimpsed their own hearts, saw in them by that light. It exposed their sins to their consciences. This is one of the things that the law does. It makes plain the sins of those who think about it. We don't have Moses with his shining face to descend to our encampment, but God does come and make manifest his perfect righteousness and his justice. Every time your pastor preaches to you, he is to show you that shining face of Moses. He's to shine the light of God's law into the darkness of your hearts in his preaching. He's not to put a veil over it for the sake of everybody's comfort, but he is to preach the ministry of condemnation. I'm to preach in such a way that we all take stock and think about what God must see. I'm to preach the law so that we see that we are lost lawbreakers who won't follow the commandments. It's not in our nature. We've made the golden calf in our hearts already. Do we leave here fully resolved in our hearts and minds to not sin, to do what is right, to change? Or do we not have a comfortable, familiar, worldly golden calf to turn to? Or will we pull down the veil and try to forget what we've heard from God this day? Will we try to find some other thing to please God rather than the perfection that He requires of us? Believe me. Better yet, believe the Israelites. The burning glow of the law is glorious, and it should put the fear of God in us when we realize God's righteousness and His power. This is the ministry of condemnation. God serves us. He ministers to us by condemning the sinner, because we must see our lost condition and feel the pressing load of sin. Then Christ's ministry begins. For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, it says, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. And that brings us to the events of that transfiguration and Jesus' ministry of righteousness. To the Romans, Paul wrote, therefore, as one trespass, he's talking about Adam there, led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness, he's talking about Jesus there, leads to justification and life for all men. That singular act of righteousness was Jesus' life, His perfect life. He was born the God-man, born without the sin of Adam. And He never sinned in His life. He proceeded to do everything perfectly, every day, every hour. And then He gave that life up for us as a sacrifice on the altar of the cross to atone for our sins, to pay for them. He became our righteousness. This is what He was preparing for His disciples for when He brought them to that mountaintop. They were soon going to see the burning face of God's condemnation turned not at them, but at Jesus. And it was frightening. They were going to see the Israelites, God's own people, turn against God and mock Him and beat Him and cruelly crucify Him. Peter, James, and John, why, they needed to see a different glory in the face of Christ. They needed God to lift up His face and to shine upon them, to look upon them with favor and give them His peace. It says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. By the powerful working of God's word, they believed, and it was credited to them as righteousness. Christ Jesus became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's what the Scriptures say. In Jesus' face, we glimpse the perfection of God's grace. When we turn to that face instead of the face of God's law, why, we want no veil. We see the perfect law of God fulfilled in the perfect man who died for us. The dead ground blooms with His life. The brightness of His face transforms us. It says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Spirit's revealing something hidden in us, glorifying us by transforming us into the likeness of Christ. That hidden gift of faith that God gave to you is being made manifest in us, like the seed that lies hidden in the ground and with a little water suddenly bursts forth and produces a flower. God is making us to shine, beginning with our baptisms in that water. And as one seed produces 100, so we are being transformed from lifeless to life-giving, because we share that faith that God has given us. Never underestimate what God has done for you. Having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, it says. Rather, we renounce disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or tamper with God's word, but by open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Fellow redeemed, the desert is blooming by God's grace. He has changed us inside and out and continues to do so. Don't turn away from God's word in any way. We need to see the burning light of the law. We need to see that gospel light of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. This is how he has given you all of this, even eternal life. Don't tamper with it. Speak it openly. Don't be ashamed when people don't understand God at first and mock you for sticking to what the Bible says. Thus you will shine with the light of God, and you will give the gift of eternal life through salvation in Christ Jesus. This is how we are being transformed, and this is the glory of Christ. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.